This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle, and a return guest to Sports Jam is Sally Cook, the author of How to Speak Soccer. Sally teaming up again with illustrator Ross McDonald for another How to Speak book, from assist to woodwork, an illustrated guide to pitch-perfect jargon, How to Speak Soccer. Sally, great to see you again.
It's great to see you, Doug.
Thanks for coming back to Sports Jam. The last time we talked football, we'll be talking, well, football for some people, but it's soccer here in the U.S.
Grella cuts to the byline, gets the cross in, Wright Phillips! And it's in! It's stuck underneath Saunders! Bradley Wright Phillips, fourth game against New York City, fourth game with a goal, 2-0 Red Bulls.
This is a sport that has grown in popularity in the U.S. over several years, but in the world, it's the most popular sport there is. Sally, you've authored books for adults and for children too, but your How to Speak Sports series really addresses both audiences. Tell us how the How to Speak series began.
I love sports, and like a lot of people, don't know a lot about sports, but it's in our world. It's kind of what makes us tick. So we thought we had done a book called Hey Bada Bada Swing, The Wild Old Days of Baseball. And that was Ross McDonald and I did that several years ago. And in the margins of that book, we talked about some of the fun terms, frozen rope, which is a line drive, and hot corner third base. And what we realized is our readers were really picking up on those terms and loving the language. So we decided, let's do a whole book of baseball terms. And that was extremely well received. And so then we decided to do other sports. So we did golf, football, and now soccer.
For soccer, for some people, it is indeed a religion. What did you learn by putting this book together from some of the people that you talked to and some of the research you did? Did you find out that this has so much more of a human connection to people than maybe some of the other sports?
Well, it's interesting you say it's like a religion, because you get a soccer fan to start talking and they can't stop. And so I immediately went to two young men that I know. One had a full scholarship at UCSB for soccer. The other is just an amateur soccer player, but has just moved from New York to San Francisco. And the first thing he did when he got off the plane is find a soccer league. They are excited about it. Like, I've never seen anyone so excited about a sport. So I learned that, you know, it is kind of like a religion, but it's all over the world. It's a very international sport, which kind of gives it a sex appeal.
Entrega por la banda para Roberto Carlos. Toca por dentro. Aparece Ronaldo. Amaga el primer disparo. Ronaldo, 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 Ronaldo.
One of your goals is to make it more friendly for people of all ages, whether it be adults or kids, to know the game, to be able to speak the language, to be able to understand it when you watch it or you hear it. And you're getting all kinds of reactions from kids to adults, too. And even coaches are picking up these books. What was different about How to Speak Soccer for you this time around?
Different from the other books you're asking?
Yeah, different from the other How to Speak books.
Well, as I said, I think that this has a more international appeal. And if you go to a soccer game and you start watching the players, it's almost like watching ballet. They move so beautifully. A professional or semi-professional soccer player is just amazing. These are people who aren't as rowdy at the match. I think they're headier, I would say that. That's what I've discovered. And they're still very, very fun, rich language, a banana kick, for instance, you know, and some of the players' nicknames are really, really fun. And there's also, just like the other books, great, funny stories. Doug, do you know how soccer got its name?
I actually, from your book, yeah.
Oh,
but
you
tell
did?
Us, but tell
well,
us.
Well, you know, it actually came from Associated Football, Associated Soccer. It started out that, and then it morphed into soccer.
And not even spelled S-O-C-C-E-R, spelled S-O-K, right?
That's exactly right. So I thought that was sort of fun. And we have all sorts of things like that in this book. I think of all the How to Speak books, this is a little bit drier in terms of just sort of trying to explain the game a little bit to everyone. And it's gotten a wonderful reception. In fact, I'm doing something very exciting on Sunday, April 23rd, all day in Brooklyn Bridge Park on Pier 5. It's called the New York Fest. It's the New York Film and Entertainment Soccer Tournament, started by a guy named Dylan Liner, who is the Executive Vice President of Acquisitions for Sony Pictures. And he started this league, and he's got all the people in the entertainment industry, many people in marketing, entertainment, film, and they compete with each other, and the teams pay something to join this, and then the proceeds go to children's charities. So I'm very excited about being part of that. And I'm sure I'm going to meet all kinds of people who will, well, hopefully I'm the only author there, so they'll pick up the book, and I hope they've learned something too from it.
Well, the one thing about soccer is that we know is that anybody can play it. Any country learns how to play it because all you need is a ball and
all
a little bit of space, right? So that makes it a wonderful game. Christmas Day, 1914, World War I actually stopped for soccer. I thought that was an interesting part of your book where Germany and the British teams, they agreed to hold the match and hold off fighting each other. I mean, that's how important this game can be.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, and if just going back to the New York Fest for a minute, when you think about getting people like Trevor Noah and, you know, other Pele was once the coin tosser for this New York Fest, it's really, everybody just loves it. And I think it is becoming more and more important in the U.S. It's huge, of course, in Europe and South America, but here I feel this fever about it. And I think that the New York Fest on Sunday will really show how excited people are about this sport. They're expecting thousands of people to show up.
And we know that the Premier League is now on television. And so people, I talk to my students all the time, and they like the teams. You know, they like Manchester United. And it's not just the Major League Soccer teams here from our area with the Red Bulls and NYFC. These countries have such a connection. It's that nationalism. Sally, I really enjoyed reading about how the red and yellow cards in soccer actually came about. Of course, referees hand out red and yellow cards for fouls on the pitch.
We had an early red card in the 10th minute shown to Dallas midfielder Javon Watson, and it's justified. Look at how Watson goes out of his way to shift the angle of his leg to the right and nail Tim Cahill in the midsection.
You mention in your How to Speak Soccer book that in 1970, it was an English teacher, Ken Aston, who came up with the idea of red and yellow cards. You would think maybe he would get it from looking at a traffic light. Red stop, yellow caution. That's what he did.
Absolutely. Don't you love it? And I thought when I heard that story, I thought to myself, there's inspiration all around us. Who would have thought when he stopped at a traffic light that red and yellow cards would become so important?
And it's used in other sports as well. So let's go back a little bit for those who didn't get a chance to hear the first time you were on the show, Sally, about your background. A former columnist for the Associated Press and reporter, you've interviewed a number of major people in your life. Who was the best interview that you feel that you did with somebody that we would know?
Jimmy Carter was pretty amazing. I was just reading an interview with him recently. He's, 92, I think. And I think he's always held on to his ideals. I'll never forget, I met him in New York. It was in the 90s. And the first thing he said to me, the publicist handed him a sandwich, and he said, "This sandwich is so expensive." I think it was $3.50. But he had such a down-home way about him, and I felt that he was just really sincere about it. He had written a book about conflict resolution, and it was for teens. Very apropos today. And he was just so genuine, and I think that was a wonderful interview. And he acted like he had all the time in the world and would talk about any subject and was just really easy to talk to.
Your family, a bunch of voracious readers. How much reading and background did he have to do for interviewing the president?
Well, at that time he was the former president. I got the call from my editor that morning at 8 o'clock in the morning if I wanted to interview him, and by noon I was interviewing him, so I had
Not
4 hours
time,
to prepare.
Right? Yeah.
But with him, you know, he was I had read his book, which I loved, about conflict resolution. It's a timeless book for teens. And, you know, he's really asking in that book, and I think this is what he's still asking us, is to just take a look around us and try to help people and try to be kind. It's really what the book is about, taking that extra step.
The book that made a difference to Sally Cook goes all the way back to when she was in second grade. I'm going to play a little excerpt that I found on YouTube. And this comes from Storyline Online with the wonderful Betty White. And let's see if you can pick up on what this story is all about.
Harry was a white dog with black spots who liked everything except getting a bath. So one day when he heard the water running in the tub, he took the scrubbing brush and buried it in the backyard. Then he ran away from home. He played where they were fixing the street, and he got very dirty.
Harry the Dirty Dog. Why is this book so special to Sally Cook?
Great question, Doug. And still, I could read it 1,000 times over and get something out of it. But I think it's all about identity. He left home a white dog with black spots, and he returns a black dog with white spots, and his family doesn't recognize him, and he does his normal tricks, and he tries everything, and he's the same within. And it's a wonderful message to children. It's so well written, beautifully done, and, you know, it's timeless.
I'm sure that Gene Zion would love to know that that was the book that got you started. Also, your second grade teacher, we learned the last time you were in, Mrs. Smith, told you that good readers make good writers. I guess you agree with her now, right?
I really do. And, you know, since I was on the show last, Doug, I've talked to people about their influence of their teachers, their grammar school teachers on their lives. And it's universal, really. I think if you have one good teacher at that young, impressionable age, it can change your life.
And for you, it certainly did. You also mentioned the last time that there was an illustrator, Tommy DiPaolo, was very influential for you and your dad. And we heard about the trips to Yankee Stadium with you and your dad. Can you still smell Yankee Stadium? Can you still feel what it was like to go with dad to those ball games?
Yes. Dad and I started going to those games when I was about 10 or 11 years old. And, you know, first of all, my father worked very hard during the week, so I didn't get to see him a lot. So we'd go to a weekend game, and I loved riding the subway. And just being with my father, he was really knew his baseball, and he loved the Yankees. And it was really fun. Just the smell of the popcorn, the hot dogs, the crowds. And in those days, the crowds were really raucous and out there. I think they're tamer now.
So sports has always been a part of your life. Not necessarily that you've always said that, you know, you're not an expert when it comes to sports, but you enjoy writing about it. And so with this soccer book this time, I think the number of terms, I mean, I don't know half of the terms that you actually wrote in this book. I was just telling my class just recently, if you took soccer, that's one sport that I don't know a lot of the phrases. Sure, I know the pitch means the field. I know that nil means zero goals. I know that the corner kick, and I know the bicycle kick. But there's so many other phrases in here. What are some of your favorite ones that you found out?
Well, for instance, pointy ball is a term the soccer fans use for American football. Never knew that. It refers to the pigskin's pointy ends. So what I've done with all of these How to Speak books, and again, I said I'm no expert, and I agree with that. I love sports, and one of the hardest things about becoming a grown-up for me was that I wasn't on a team anymore once I got out of college because I was always on a swim team or a softball team. So with these books, what I would do immediately is go to the experts. And two young men, Dugan Zier and Max Schwenk, are young men in their 20s who are passionate about soccer. One of them had a full scholarship to UCSB, and they started me on the terms that they thought were important and used a lot, because I didn't want something that was so archaic that it wouldn't mean a lot. I want this book to be accessible to a person like you or me, who doesn't necessarily know that much about the sport. So we've got some very basic things in here, like what is the goalkeeper? What are defenders, you know, midfielders? But then we've got, you know, some, the woodwork is the goalpost, for instance. And, you know, we have things like give and go and the golden goal. You know what that is?
I do.
You do?
I do, because I read your book.
it's basically the same thing as sudden death, right?
Yeah, right.
So we want it to be a blend of a little bit quirky and straight.
And as we mentioned before, the illustrations are wonderful. Again, looking like the old-time sports pages that you would see with these wonderful illustrations from Ross McDonald. My guest on Sports Jam is Sally Cook, along with Ross McDonald, have come up with How to Speak Soccer, From Assist to Woodwork, an illustrated guide to pitch-perfect jargon. Sally has a number of these How to Speak books, How to Speak Golf, How to Speak Football, and How to Speak Baseball. She is also the author of Hey, Batta Swing, as well as The Wild Old Days of Baseball, and she co-authored with legendary football coach Gene Stallings the New York Times bestseller, Another Season, A Coach's Story of Raising an Exceptional Son. You know, I didn't ask you this the last time around, but I think the size of the book, there's a lot of thought that went into this. But put it into a book bag, take it with you wherever you go. Tell us about that.
Well, Doug, the last time I was on, I think I told you I was really surprised to learn that kids are just going crazy over these books. I go to a lot of book festivals, and just 6-year-olds come up and buy them. And I think it's because they can learn a secret language, or, you know, on the playground they can boast that they know words that their friends might not know and challenge them. And so they do fit into a book bag. If you have a big back pocket, you can even stuff it in there. But I love the size of these, and I think it would make a beautiful little box collection with the four of them. They're all different spines, beautiful colors. The soccer book, you know, he's got a purple shirt on, and the writing's in orange, and the spine is this beautiful blue. Ross is also the designer on these books, and he's taught me a lot about, I suggested, and he loved this idea that when you first open it up, you've got the pitch there.
Yeah, the actual field, yeah, the pitch.
End papers are some of my favorite papers in a book. It's when you first open a book, and they're these gorgeous decorative papers. And he's got this sly sense of humor, you know. When you open the very first page, it's a soccer ball going into somebody's face.
Right.
So it's pretty funny. I mean, I think his illustrations are hysterical.
They really are. They really are. And, you know, with your family being such, you know, big readers, we talked last time about how your husband and your kids have supported you. You have grown-up children, Alex and Liz. When we think of writers, we think of somebody that has to kind of hole up in a spot and find inspiration. For you, how do you like to write? Do you write with music? Do you write by, you know, being in a room by yourself? Is Bob in the room with you? How do you approach that?
Well, that's such a great question, because I also love to ask my writer friends what how they like to write. I am very, really, very lucky that Bob is really interested in books and writing. He also wrote a book years ago about 10 cities and how they developed. So he loves words. He's a good writer himself. And so I usually read out loud to him once I have a manuscript. And reading out loud is a great thing to do as a writer, because you hear things that you don't when you're not reading it out loud. So that's really good. And I like to do all the composing by myself. Now, with these books, it's just been such a joy to work with experts in the fields. So, of course, then I interview them, I go back, I do the writing, and then I'll call them up and say, is this right? I want, because you have to have, everything has to be correct in these books. You can't make a mistake. So, and especially kids will catch the mistakes. So there can't be any. So we go over and over and cross-check everything. And then when I feel like it's a good manuscript, I'll show it to my husband usually, and then he critiques it. Again, I read it all out loud.
Your book includes some great names of players of the past and present. My favorite, Messi.
And it's Messi's magic that is bringing the curtain up. And it's Villa that's bringing the curtain down.
Real Madrid's defense stretched out like spandex on Miami Beach, and Casillas is left naked. Again, It's the visionary genius of Lionel Messi and the precise weight of the pass that opens the white shirt up like a fresh fish. What a pass.
One of the great and colorful announcers, Ray Hudson there, he certainly knows how to speak soccer. For me, one of the things about when I watch a Messi play, he is so much better than everybody else on the field that he stands out. I couldn't tell you, though, who are the other necessarily great players because I don't see all the skills that are necessary. But with somebody like him, I can tell that he's special.
And what an inspiration to young people. At one point, my son was very small also and really never thought he'd grow. So if he had these inspirations, I think sports stars can be inspirations to young people. You don't even have to be passionate about the sport. Just know that they overcame these obstacles. You know, when I go to the New York Fest, I think I'm going to meet a lot of international soccer players and people from all over the world. And I can stand right there and they can tell me what's working for them and what's not when they buy the book.
The World Cup is a huge event here in New Jersey, especially in the Ironbound when you have teams from Portugal playing. The town almost comes to a stop, you know, because everybody is watching the games. If you go into the various shops in New Jersey, soccer is what's playing on the television. So we know how passionate people are. When they're young kids, they get the opportunity to learn the terms. Now they can speak with grandpa or grandma who might have known all these all along. This is a nice little help book for them.
Well, thanks, Doug. That's really what we want it to be, is to bring people together. That's what I want these books to do, to show people that how much fun this is and, you know, that nobody's really an expert unless you're a professional soccer player or something. So we all have so much to learn. And this is just a beginning conversation starter.
So have you tried your book out on yourself to either watch a game or listen to a game and say, now I'm picking up on this much better?
Yes, and I think, once again, back to New York Fest, I think I'm going to have so much more fun at this festival from the small amount of knowledge that I've, you know, gained by working on this book.
Also, when it comes to books, it was several years ago that you co-authored a book with legendary football coach Gene Stallings, and it was a New York Times bestseller, Another Season, A Coach's Story of Raising an Exceptional Son. This was early on in your career. We talked about you just were kind of thrown right into the fire there. Now that you've had a chance to look back and see the work that you did, do you have any different impressions on the book itself and the relationship that you established with the Stallings?
I'm very proud of that book, and I'm extremely proud of the work that Gene Stallings did and has done on behalf of people with disabilities. And it was a real eye-opener for me to be in the Deep South, to see the passion or the talk about, you said soccer is almost a religion. Football is a religion in the Deep South, as you know, Doug. So that was just, I had grown up in Roanoke, Virginia, but never had seen this kind of fervor for a sport. But getting to know a Southern football coach who had just won the national championship. I met him, like, he was just coming off of winning. And having him talk about his son in such beautiful way and then wanting to help so many other people with disabilities. And when Gene Stallings went back to Alabama in the 90s after coaching different places, he started raising money for this center called the Rise Center in Tuscaloosa. And it is probably the most state-of-the-art center for children with disabilities that you can imagine in this country. I would challenge anybody to tell me that there's a better one. I think it's really top rate. And I think part of it is the awareness that the Stallings family gave to this center called the Rise Center. Now they're in the Southwest. I know there's one in Austin. I think they're about four or five.
I would imagine you had a different outlook when it comes to responsibility of reaching kids who have challenges.
Yes, I mean, it definitely shaped who I am today, and that was many years ago that I worked on it. That book came out in 1997, so that's a long time ago. What happened is that I, you know, as much fun as these How to Speak books are, they don't have a social message so much. I mean, I'd love it if, you know, children could talk to their grandparents and this could be a bond, but I think it I went to work for a nonprofit after I worked on another season with Gene Stallings, and I've been there 10 years, and we do work in hospitals. We work with pediatric patients in the tri-state area.
Project Sunshine Book Club.
Yes. And I take authors and illustrators into pediatric settings to share their work. I've got the whole Sesame Street gang going into the hospital. R.L. Stine, who wrote Goosebumps, comes in. Doreen Cronin, Click Clack Moo, Cows That Type. Sophie Black-Cowell, a Caldecott winner. And it is a really rewarding job that I have because we deal with pediatric patients, and I can't think of too much more that I could be passionate about. And I think that did come from the Stallings book.
Through working with Project Sunshine Book Club, you've always been aware of the needs and the desires for many of these children's books that you've also put together.
Sharing the children's books with the pediatric patients, what you realize is, you know, you can have apps and you can have the computer, but children, and I also do school visits, they love the hard copy book. So it's so exciting for me because that's what I love too. And to see that reinforced, that's what kids really love. They like the book.
You know, you mentioned the key, I think, to the popularity of soccer in our nation here in the U.S., the women. The women were the ones that really caught the imagination of everybody when they won the World Cup, because that's what really got young girls interested in this. And we have several stars that are right here from New Jersey. Christy Rampone and Carly Lloyd, of course, who played her soccer at Rutgers University. So some real local stars here that have really prompted young girls in this area. Soccer's through the roof as far as young gals.
And, you know, I'm just enough older that I didn't have those kinds of role models growing up. And I don't even know what my life would be like if I had. But I look at these young girls and I think, how cool is that to have these fabulous women soccer stars? So I think it's amazing that they have these role models.
Did it spur any kind of interest to go to a certain country to watch a soccer match?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, I'd love to go to the UK and see the matches, and I know the fervor there. My son is a big Chelsea fan, you know, and he wears the shirts. And he really started, he's 27, and he started getting into soccer about 5 years ago in a huge way. He never played it. I think it's that in the last 5 years, I think his age group, the young people in their 20s have just gone crazy. And especially I noticed that they like the English teams very much.
It's because they're so good.
So good.
They're so good. And they also, you know, see them on television. It's easy to become a fan of, you know, when teams are established and you see these great players with all the excitement and the colors and the pageantry. The cheering in the stands is also, you know, another thing that is amazing. What does Bob think about soccer?
He loves it too. I mean, we both think that it's almost like watching ballet. In that level, it's so beautiful. You know, it's like you're talking about Messi's in a league of his own with his playing, and I think it's like Roger Federer with tennis. You know, these people just sort of float. They're not scrappy particularly. They're just floating. And so watching this level is extraordinary. Of course, he actually likes to go and watch kids play too. I mean, and Central Park is full of soccer players right now, and it's fun.
Now, you were born in New Jersey, and then, but of course, you live in New York City. What are your memories of the Garden State?
Great memories growing up in Westfield, New Jersey, because at that time, and I think it's probably the same way, it was a really great place to play sports. So we were taken pretty seriously, which is amazing. And I think being on a swim team all through high school and being on the softball team kept me out of a lot of trouble. And the teams were wonderful. I mean, we had great coaches, and I'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and practice my swimming at the Westfield Y. And I think it's still a very athletic town. I think the kids are on teams. I don't know, you know, in our day too, we did have an adult coach, but we kids kind of, even though it wasn't pickup, it was very much kid-centric.
You spent time as a columnist, journalist, author, that competition that you learned early on from sports, do you think that helped you become better at your job?
Well, one thing when I was working on, when I work on longer books, you know, there, you always sort of hit a wall. And I think when I'm hitting that wall and I'm just kind of miserable about being in the pool and making myself, you know, just go the distance. And I think that my competitive swimming of all the sports that I did really helps me to this day just keep going when I want to stop.
Well, people don't want you to stop. They want you to keep going on. So what's the next project for Sally Cook?
Well, I have something else that I'd love to do with Ross, which is, you know, the Women's League, which I talked to you about last, Doug, and I've been so busy putting the soccer book to bed that I haven't delved into it in the way I wish. But I'm going to, in the next couple of weeks, after doing some more book promotion, I'm going to have a little bit more time. And Ross is really interested in, too. Can you imagine his vintage drawings of the Women's Baseball League in the 1940s are going to be beautiful. And I think I'm going to go up there and spend some time at his studio and start talking to him, because we're really good creative collaborators.
I'm already seeing pictures of the Rockford Peaches.
Yes. And, you know, at first I thought maybe I'd fictionalize. I want to get into one character's head. I think that's always very exciting. And you mentioned before that it's good to have fun while learning things. And, of course, it's going to be funny. That's going to be important. Ross and I can't do anything with a straight face.
How about you and Bob at home? What kind of fun do you guys have?
Well, we actually have a book idea, which I cannot divulge, but we would like to collaborate on a book together, and we've been talking about it for the last few months, and it's getting clearer and clearer in our eyes. It has something to do with film, actually. It's a departure from sports, and we are big tennis players, and we love to go to Yankees games, and we haven't been to one yet, but we're planning to go this year. And Bob is really interested in art and paints watercolor, so we go to a lot of art shows. We just saw the Marston Hartley at the Met Brewer, and which is the old Whitney Museum. And so we keep pretty busy.
So on Wednesday, the 19th, you have the Corner Bookstore, Madison Avenue, is where you're going to have a book signing party for How to Speak Soccer.
That's the sixth party that I've had at the Corner Bookstore. And that's at 1313 Madison, which is at 93rd and Madison. And I've lived in that neighborhood for 40 years. And a lot of people say that they stay in that neighborhood because of the bookstore. It's a wonderful, wonderful store. I can't say enough good about it.
And so knowing that that's part of basically your neighborhood and you're in there, you're the star of the day, how does that make you feel?
Well, you know, I always say when I go on school visits, I'm doing a school visit for the fourth graders tomorrow, actually, at a school on the Upper West Side, that, no, I'm not the star at all. It takes so many people to make a book. You know, I'll just come up with the original idea. But then, you know, you've got Ross's illustrations, for instance, and then you've got the editor who works tirelessly to make sure that there are no mistakes, and the copy editor who goes over every line and every period and every comma. And, you know, Ross designed these books, but you've got the art director. And, you know, by the time you're finished, you have a lot of people making a beautiful book.
And I would imagine this would also make people want to do art and to come up with their own illustrations, too, right? Because it's a wonderful idea that he has and how he illustrates. I think it would prompt some other people to want to do the same, especially youngsters.
Ross and I did a school visit together, and, you know, I just love to hear him talk to children, because he's never had an art lesson in his life. He's completely self-taught. And a lot of times when I go into schools and some children want to show me their art, it's just magnificent. And I think later on when they start to get very critical is when it's not as good.
Right. I agree. Yeah, that's true. And then also, once again, we wanted to mention that you will also be a part of this event at Brooklyn Bridge Park, and that would be for the New York Fest. And so you can get more information by going to nyfest.org, and you can get more information about Sally Cook by going to her new website, sallycookauthor.com. Sally, it's been a pleasure having you back. Best of luck with How to Speak Soccer and the rest of your career.
Thank you so much, Doug. It's been a pleasure.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the recent podcasts by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes. Until our next session, I'll see you at the game.